The Two Brothers by Alexander Dumas. Copyright 2014 by Bahar Books. Chapter 6. After all this, the hunter was overwhelmed with fatigue and said to the princess, who was no less worn out from fear than he was fatigued from battle, "Princess, we are both so completely exhausted that we may not have the strength to go back down to the village. Let us sleep for a few moments." She answered, "Yes, my dear hunter." And both of them stretched out on the ground side by side. Only, just before falling asleep, the hunter said to the lion, "Lion, you are going to keep watch so that no one will attack us during our sleep. Understood?"
"Understood," said the lion.
The princess was already asleep. The hunter then fell fast asleep as well. The lion lay down near them, but as he himself was very tired, he said to the bear, "Bear, would you be so kind as to keep watch in my place? I am so fatigued that I need to sleep a little. Only at the least sign of danger, arouse me." The bear lay down next to the lion, but he himself was so completely exhausted from the battle that he called to the wolf and said, "Wolf, you can see that I do not have the strength to keep my eyes open. Should something happen unexpectedly, wake me." The wolf lay down next to the bear, but his eyes kept closing despite his efforts. He motioned to the fox to come over.
"Fox," he said, "I am dying of sleep. Keep careful watch in my place and wake me at the least noise."
But the fox was so tired that he could not stand guard as he had been ordered. So he called to the rabbit and said, "Rabbit, you even sleep with one eye open. I beg you to keep watch in my place. If you see anything that frightens you at all, awaken me." But the poor rabbit had been so distressed by his own fears that, in fact, he was the most exhausted of them all. And so he did what he had been told he must absolutely not do. He slept as deeply as all the others. Thus the hunter, the daughter of the king, the lion, the bear, the wolf, the fox, and the rabbit were all profoundly asleep, with no one keeping watch. It was then that the marshal, who had stayed behind in the chapel to observe, not seeing the dragon carry off the daughter of the king, and noticing that all was quiet on the mountain, picked up his courage and crept up the mountain step by step, keeping his eyes open and his ears cocked, ready to flee at the least sign of danger. Upon reaching the summit, the first thing he saw were the trees all burned and smoking, but the dragon had disappeared. Then his eyes took him a little further. He saw the daughter of the king, the hunter, and the animals all plunged into the most profound sleep. And as the marshal was a man full of envy and ambition, he realized that he might just be able to pass himself off as the dragon killer and marry the daughter of the king. But to achieve this trick, he must first get rid of the true conqueror. He took out his sword and approached Gottlieb so stealthily that not one animal awoke, not even the rabbit. Then bringing down his sword, he sliced off poor Gottlieb's head in a single cut. He then woke the princess, who was very, very frightened, and he said to her,
"You are in my hands, and I am going to cut off your head, just as I did the hunter, if you do not swear that you will say that it was I who killed the dragon."
"I cannot tell such a terrible lie," said the princess, "because it was the hunter and his animals who defeated the monster."
"You will nevertheless do as I wish," said the marshal, turning his bloody sword around the princess's head, "or I will cut you into pieces and say that the dragon did it."
The princess was so terribly frightened that she swore to do everything that the marshal wished. Having obtained her oath, he took her to the king, who nearly died from the joy of seeing his dear daughter, whom he thought lost. The marshal said to the king,
"It is I who has killed the dragon and delivered not only the princess, but the empire as well. I ask, therefore, that she become my wife, as you promised, on your sacred word.
Since the marshal was not known as a man of courage, the king turned toward his daughter and said,
Is his story true?
Alas, yes, said she. It can only be true, only I insist that the marriage not take place for a year and a day.
The marshal maintained that the marriage must be immediate, but the princess stood firm in her demand. So the marshal, fearing if he pushed her too far, that she might tell everything in a moment of despair, had to consent to the delay.